Sandy Gonzalez immigrated to the United States in 1998, not knowing how to speak English. Today, she's a wife, a mother, a passionate entrepreneur. She is the CEO of Paco's Taquerias with 5 locations and a dream to scale nationally. Hi, friends. You've made it to Karina Faith Diaries, your new go-to spot for real talk about the journeys that shape our faith. I'm Karina, your host, and I'm super excited to chat about real-life struggles, wins, and everything in between. This is all about honest conversations, lifting each other up, and the power of a relationship with Jesus. Whether you're here to learn, connect, or to get inspired, let's get started together. Sandy, thank you so much for being here. I am so excited to have you and to talk all things business, Latin America, English speaking. Like, we have so many similar things. So yes. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here. I feel humbled to be here in your podcast. Thank you for thinking of me.
Thank you. Of course. So tell me a little bit about you immigrated from Mexico in 1998. How was that? Like, well, first of all, tell me a little bit about your childhood in Mexico. What was that like? Were your parents, like, was it a Christian family? And then how you came to the U.S.?
Really, my family was not really Christian based, but we always believe in God in my family. I was raised by my grandma mostly, and actually she was the one who thought, like, oh, you should go to Chicago. Your aunt, she just got a baby, so you might can go there and help her, and also probably you can go to school there, mm-hmm. perhaps. And I was like, yes, I am so excited. Absolutely. And that's how I came at the age of 14 to Chicago. And I stayed there for a few months with my aunt in Chicago. And they decide, my grandma and my mom, that they decide to send me here to Indiana with my uncle. He was living here, to stay here, because my grandma, she will come and get me. And we supposedly go back home to Chihuahua, Mexico. She ended up saying, like, just wait for me a few more months and I'll be there to get you. I was living here with my uncle. Unfortunately, he was going through some challenges in that time. He was single, but he was kind of directing his life to alcohol and another things. So I was so young, I was staying at home for him to come from work, or the things that he was doing, going through his own personal challenges. My grandma, she came, but like a year later. So I start here my path in life, and I start like cementing here my home, mm-hmm. here, and I love Indiana.
In Chicago, you came to basically babysit, mm-hmm. For your aunt. And then what made you come here? It was just didn't work out up there, or?
My family, unfortunately, and I'm so glad that we're talking about faith, and mm-hmm. They were going through hard times on their childhood. My uncles, my mom, so they see life so different, mm-hmm. and they have a very strong personality, most of my family.
Very Latinos do have.
Yes, it is.
Macho culture.
Yes, and things has to be this way, mm-hmm. and you're not allowed to give your opinion, yes. and all that. So one day she just got upset with me, and she said, well, you have to go back to Mexico. And my grandma, she said, no, like, send her to Indiana, because I'm gonna be there, I'm gonna get her. And they sent me to here to Indiana.
Okay.
And I ended up here with my uncle.
So you were about that time, you were about 14 to 15. And then how did you get married?
15.
What was that?
Actually, I was 15 when I got here in Indiana. I was barely like 15. And I was living with him. Mm-hmm. I was just waiting when he was coming from work, mm-hmm. and I was a stay home.
not great.
They were no, of course, and yeah. They were thinking like, okay, probably I have to put you here in a school.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma, she took a little bit of time to come and get me.
Yeah,
I decided to do things by my own. Immediately when I came here, I started going to St. Patrick, the church.
Okay.
And that's where I met the father of my first three kids.
Okay.
I stayed there for a few months, and he was like, you shouldn't go back to Mexico. You should stay here. Mm-hmm. I really want to marry you. And I was like, no, I think I have to go back. So I went back to Mexico, and I stayed there for a couple months, and he was reaching out, hey, please come back. I love you.
Aww.
We should make a family together. I came back, and we got married. Even though I was underage,
yeah.
I bring my mom with me.
Uh-huh.
She was living here with us, and that's how I started my family.
Wow,
yes. At a very young age,
very young.
Yes.
So then you guys had three kids.
Mm-hmm.
And what are their ages now?
24, 21, and 19. 18.
Wow, you're so young. If you guys are not watching this on YouTube, go on YouTube and look how beautiful this woman is. P.S.
Thank you.
That is so cool. Okay, so then you were going to church. He's going to church.
Yes.
You guys have your community there.
Yes.
You have a marriage. You start having kids. Then what happens?
Life is getting more interesting because it was a lot of responsibility. One thing about me is that I guess because what I went through in the past three years, it was not that heavy for me, even though it was a lot of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Being here by myself, taking decisions for myself, getting married so young, having a kid. And
was it almost like automatic, like you were going through
after
another?
Older, but it was life. It was great. It was good. I can say something different. And my ex-mother-in-law, she said, like, you guys need a future. So you need to build your future. And I'm thinking about to give you a business, to buy a business for you guys. You guys can grow it. And that day that she bought that business, she handed the key to me instead of him.
Wow.
That is her son. She handed it to me and she said, well, you send it, you're going to take care of the business. And I was like, and I was only 18 years old. And I was like, okay, yeah. So it was kind of normal for me. Like, I don't know why, but I felt like, okay, this is it. And it's okay. And it's great. What else I can expect? Like, what else that I want? And we start our business.
Which is the one that you have until today?
No,
no,
by the way,
okay.
It was a different one.
Okay.
It was a Western wear clothing store.
Okay.
Yes. All hats and boots and all that. That people like the country.
Mm-hmm.
People like
Western style
Western
clothing.
Yes.
Okay, so that's amazing. I mean, first of all, she saw in you an entrepreneur that you know, she didn't trust her son to do, not that she didn't, but it's like she definitely had a vision and she saw that you could carry on.
Yes,
which is incredible for you
to
display that, you know, at such a young age. I love that. I love stories like this. And so you guys take over this business and then you start working there.
Yes, we start working there. And I was mostly the person who was taking care of the business, growing the financials, making orders. He was working for her at the moment. She used to own a Salvadorian restaurant.
Okay.
We grew the business and things started going great. We bought our house, we bought our cars, our family were growing. And at my third pregnancy, we went through a challenge. He was looking for something else in life.
Mm.
He decided to stay with another looking for another woman's, and it was not really what I was looking to have an unstable marriage.
Mm.
It was kind of a very challenging moment for me because I was pregnant. I was 7 months pregnant. Finding out this, it was so hard for me.
Like he was having an affair.
Oh, yes, wow. He was having an affair. And for me, I was having the perfect life, mm-hmm. right? Family, kids, business. Like my husband, business. And it was very hard for me at the moment.
I'm so sorry.
I was like thinking, how I'm going to do now? Like, mm-hmm. how am I going to do this? I'm just pregnant. I'm going through this. I become like a investigator, like finding out like why and with who and all this. It was just
crazy.
So insane. It was so insane, but I guess God made me go through that path to become resilient and to grow as a person, because I think I was just a little girl still. Yes. I was just a little girl. And then God made me go to that path so I was able to grow a little more, because he had another plans for me, which I love it. Honestly, I love that God put me through all that, because my life has been making beautiful adjustments and changes, and I evolved through all this.
You became a woman at such a young age.
Yes,
like really,
very,
truly.
Very young. Yes. And after that, I decided that I wanted like to save my marriage. When my son, he born, Christian, he's 18 now. I was like, okay, I don't think I want to be here anymore. I think I suffer so much. I don't know if I really want this, to carry this all my life with him. So I decided to move on, and I did move on.
So you gave him the divorce? And,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. We got separated, and I guess like 2 years later we got in divorce. But when it got the moment, I guess I was suffering so much, and I was carrying my own feelings, like why I was trying to do the best. I was trying to be that, like, the perfect wife and having my kids and taking care of the business and taking care of him. But of course we were not in the same page. He was feeling different probably, and I was so young. I was so inexpert on that part of the probably the marriage that you want to experience something else. And I move on after a few months after my son, he got born, and I start doing my own life. We're trying to sell the business. The person who bought the business, he didn't pay us back. So
I got
the business back, and he was a little bit upset because we were not anymore together, so he was kind of putting pressure on me. I gave him the key of the business, and I walk out. And I walk out with my 3 kids, and I was like, I got it. I don't know how, but something great is
coming.
It's in front of me, and I'm just going to do it. And I don't know how it's going to happen. So after having my own business, I went to clean houses.
Wow.
And I went to clean houses for like 2 weeks. Honestly, that was not my thing.
Yeah.
I remember.
But we know as Latinas, we know how to clean a house, right?
Yes, of course.
I can make somewhere spotless. So.
Yes. After those 2 weeks, I remember I told my friend Sonia. She was cleaning the house with me. And I was like, Sonia, I just don't like to clean bathrooms. That's not my thing. And she was like, oh, I'm going to, she's so sweet. She speaks so sweet. And she said, well, I'm going to teach you. And now on, you're going to love to do it. Okay.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't know about that, but let me try it. And it went 2 weeks like that. And I was like, no, this is not for me. I just need to look for something better that I can actually provide better to my kids. At the moment I had a friend, his name is Rafael Zeta. He actually helped me so much, to come to Radio Latina, that is actually very close from here, from your office.
Oh.
And he said, like, hey, you should go to our office. We are hiring right now.
Mm.
Let me introduce my boss to you. We met and they hired me to become a DJ at the radio station. And I was like, I don't have the voice. I don't think I have the voice to become a DJ. But they were like, yeah, you got it. We're going to teach you and you're going to become very popular and this and that. And I was like, okay, perfect. Well, let's do it then.
Uh-huh.
How much I'm going to get paid? And I remember Bart, it was my boss there. And he said, well, we're going to pay you $8 an hour. And I was like,
$8
an hour. And I was like, well, I think I can't because
I'm
a single mom of three and I feel like I have to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And Rafa, he was there and he said, why you don't hire her to become a sales executive?
Mm.
She used to have her own store business,
mm-hmm,
and she was doing sales. And he said, well, I guess, yeah, we can put you in that position. Well, I started in that position. I remember it was very ready. And that first year, I made $11,000 that whole year.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, okay, I got
it. This is not going to
be. Yes, I got it. It's fine. I'm just going to be very patient. The next year, it was around $30,000.
Wow.
And then the following year, it was around $50,000. And then the following year, it was above $80,000.
And at the time, so you just kept on going,
yes,
growing.
And at the time, I was like, I was just looking for another opportunity to, mm-hmm, have my own business again.
Okay.
And I was just looking for that moment. And I asked a few friends, like, hey, you want to do something together? I always have kind of that spirit
entrepreneurial spirit. Yes.
And I was just thinking almost every day what to do. Should I open a restaurant? Should I open a retail store? Should I sell clothing? What should I do? But I get to do something. And I was asking friends, do you want to invest? Do you want to do something? And some people were like, no, that's not my thing. Other one,
mm-hmm,
he was kind of there, a friend of mine. He was like, okay, let's do something. But I didn't see him like serious, like that they really want to do something. And one day I remember that somebody told me, hey, is this restaurant on Keystone? They're trying to sell this restaurant, the owner.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. One morning, I woke up and I said to myself, today is the day. Today, I am going to look for my future, for my vision of growth, and for the future of my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Today is the day. So what I did, it was getting ready, going to the office of Radio Latina, check my emails. And after that, I drove to that location that somebody told me that they were selling the business.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the address. They just told me it's by this street. So I drove by, I found the taqueria, the restaurant. I came inside. And I remember it was a cashier. And I asked her, is the owner here?
Mm.
And she said, no, the owner's not here. What do you need? And I told her, I heard that you guys are selling the business and I am interested. I had $20,000 in savings at,
wow,
the moment as a single mom of three. So it was great.
That is great.
10 years ago, by the way.
Yes. That was a lot of money
It was kind of, yeah, for a single mom, of course.
Yes.
And
let me backtrack this just a second. I don't want to lose the moment, but I just wanted to say that how incredible it is that you could actually save. So after you finish telling the story, we need some tips of like, how did you make this work? First of all, like, did you have a relationship with God at that point too?
Yes.
Of like feeling that he was nudging you on? to make this move and things like that? Were you like seeking counsel and that kind of thing with him, or did you just feel the Holy Spirit like just push
it? I just feel that Holy Spirit with me for many years, and actually going a little bit back when I had my first born, I guess my son at the moment, he was like a year and a half, something like that. And I was praying in the living room. He was in his bedroom, and I was praying, and I was like, God, if you and your angels are here, just touch me. Mm-hmm. I was so innocent, I guess, or not innocent. I was just wanting to feel him.
Yes.
To know that he was there with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with my eyes closed. I had a candle on, and was just praying. Mm-hmm. And out of nowhere, somebody touched my hand, my left hand. And I opened my eyes, and it was my son, my little son, that he walked from the room where I was, and he touched my hand. And I didn't hear when he opened the door, when he was walking. It was so amazing. And since then, I've been saying that he's like my angel. He's my my right-hand side. He's going through so much with me. We have grown together. And that's how I feel like God say, like, hey, I'm here with you.
Yes.
Notice me. I'm here. Mm-hmm. You don't have to ask to see me, but I am here with you.
Yeah.
So it was a very beautiful moment. Mm-hmm. That's why I've been always say, like, I know God is with me, and I know I have an amazing connection with him,
mm-hmm.
because he's been guiding me through all these paths.
Entire life. I mean, all these challenges.
Yes.
Okay, so sorry, let's go back. Then you walk into the taqueria, then you were like, okay, you have your savings.
Mm-hmm.
So how old were you when you walked into that taqueria?
It's 10 years ago. I was 31. I was 30 or 31,
okay.
I believe, at the moment.
Then you walk in there and ask for the owner.
Yes, and the lady said, well, I am the owner. Yes, and I was like, okay, great. She said, call me tonight. She grabbed a little piece of receipt, and she write down her name and phone number in the back. I called her that night, and she said, well, I want this amount of money for the business.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, listen, I don't have all that money,
mm-hmm.
but if you accept me half of the money, and also I can make installment payments every month, I can pay you in a year. And she said, yes. That night, she said, yes. So I believe past like 10 days.
Wow.
And I took over the same day that I quit Radio Latina. I started Paco's Taqueria that very same day.
Wow.
Yes. And that's how my other path in life, is my other chapter in life started.
Wow.
With,
were you scared at all? Or
no, I don't think I was scared. Wow, I don't know. Sweet. It's just, I guess it's part, it become like part of me taking risk,
mm-hmm.
and challenges like so easy.
And trusting that God will provide.
Yes, and trusting, oh, absolutely. He will always provide us. We just have to ask. We just have to tell him and give it to him.
Mm-hmm. And take the bold steps, right?
Yes.
That was very bold of you as a 31-year-old woman, mm-hmm. with three kids to support.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this, and if you don't have to answer if you don't feel comfortable, but was your ex-husband helping with the kids at all or not really?
He was. I think he was not as conscious still until that. We just actually starting having a better relationship, I would say, months ago.
Oh.
But for these 24 years,
he was not present.
He was present, but not as God wants a dad to be in the life of their
kids.
The kids, yes, like with good guidance, be there,
mm-hmm.
providing well. And before I was so mad and upset, and I made the mistake of telling my kids very little, like, oh, your dad, he doesn't even provide the way it has to be. And I'm with so much responsibility. It's something that it really, I've been working on myself, on forgive myself for being telling my kids those kind of things. Of course, I already work that with them, but it's hard because now they're growing and they know, like, my dad, he was there, but he was not really there. And we were with challenges, and he was not really there for us and for my mom, because it's our mom. So I already been working that with them, and they're amazing kids. I love my kids so much. Aww. I'm gonna cry.
Yeah, we have tissues.
Yeah, for real. Because I feel like what I have been done, it's for them. And for me, of course, because I am looking forward always for the growth, to better myself, to see what the future has for me, what God has for me, and what else I can do to keep helping people. But it's like, it's always for them. I always tell them, it's not that I always tell them, but I want them to know that mom has been doing all this for them. I get inspired by them.
Yes, but I feel like they see it too. And I think that it's, I mean, I understand what you're saying about saying bad things, because we're not supposed to, you know, criticize each other, but it is so hard. Like, you were raising them. So there's, you know, grace in there. And I'm glad that now, I mean, he can rescue that relationship if he wants to, right? He can come back and be like, hey, just own it up to, I'm sorry I wasn't there when you needed me to, you know, I am here now. Hopefully he'll come to that sense. But this new chapter is starting. And what happens next?
Well, I started Pacos just with one cooker and myself.
Wow.
So we were only two. I was working every single day from 7 a.m. to 10, 11 p.m. Every single day, 7 days a week for 1 year. Thank God I kind of take great decisions in the business at the very beginning of when I took over the restaurant. By the way, I didn't have enough money for the product when I opened Pacos. Before, well, days before, I was like, okay, I have the money for the kind of like the down payment for the business, and I'm gonna be making installment payments every month, but I don't have money for utilities, I don't have money for the product. How I'm gonna do this? Thank God I feel like I have something very special within me, that I create a very beautiful and strong relationships with people. And people, a lot of people has been seeing what Seni has been done in the past, and how Seni carries herself, and a lot of people trust me. And I spoke to three people from that they used to were my clients from the radio station. I used to do the advertisement for them. And I asked Señora Zoila, well, I just bought this business, but I don't have for the product, and I don't have for this. And she was like, Seni, how much do you need? And I was like, I think $5,000. And she was like, perfect, just come and pick them up tomorrow. So she loaned me that money. And another business owner, Juan, amazing. He's one of the owners, I think, very like different partners, but he was one of the owners of Riviera Maya. And I was like, Juan, I'm about to open a taqueria, but I don't have enough money. And he was like, how much do you need? I think $2,000. Perfect, Seni, just come and pick them up. And another friend, hey, my friend, I told him about the taqueria, and I was like, I think it needs a different vibe. We need to paint. I need different chairs, different tables. And he was like, oh, my partner, he just closed a business, a restaurant business. You should come and talk to him about the chairs and tables. I spoke to him, and he was like, yeah, you can get me payments every month.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, perfect. Now I have the tables and the chairs. And then I spoke to another friend, and he was like, I can do the painting and you can make me monthly payments. Mm. And I was like, yes.
This is the power of relationships. This is biblical. It's like, it's so important. We cannot make it on our own. And this is a vivid picture of how important yes. good relationships are in our lives, you know?
And it's not only what you're going to get from your mm-mm. friends or from the people that you know. It really means like you have someone there that you can talk, that you can count with. Mm-hmm. But people also see, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And how are you doing it? Mm-hmm. And people see that and people notice that. And people can be there for you without asking.
Yes.
And it is not necessary to be about business. It's not necessary mm-hmm. to be about money. But they just feel comfortable with you. They yeah. just like you.
They and trust they, you.
They that you trust do, you. You. Even you have they integrity. Don't know you that much personality mm-hmm. And in person, but they trust something about you. And I feel like that has been a beautiful gift that God has gave me, mm-hmm. but also I really care about people. Mm-hmm. I really care about people. Sometimes we can't stay like too close because everybody has their own life.
Yes, of course.
Their own challenges that they have going on. But I just want to tell you that I am here.
Yes.
I just want to give you a text. Hey, Ana, ¿cómo estás? Mm-hmm. How are you? Mm-hmm. I haven't heard from you, but I want you to know that I love you.
Truly believe that we need to have people like this in our lives, and we need to have people that we can talk about our mistakes or the exactly. things that are, you know, bad about us. Hey, I
just
made this.
Just be vulnerable, because sometimes yes. you can't with a lot of people because you're going to feel judged. You're mm-hmm. going to feel like they think something about you, and you think sometimes like, oh, probably I'm going to change their perspective about mm-hmm. me. Like, no, be vulnerable.
Yes.
Talk about how you feel, because that's the only way that we can get the real connection. Yes. It's not about the restaurant. It's not about the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's not about the car. It's not about what purse you have. It is more like how vulnerable you can be in how you can really connect mm-hmm. with people, with that person.
That's with your story too, right? Like yes. to make connections with people with your story, because that's what we're here for, to just be a testimony to mm-hmm. how God brought us up in life and what he's done, right?
Yes.
Which is, your story is really amazing. Okay, so then you got help from all of these people in your life, and then you really started your business with one store.
Yes.
Working every day. For 1 year.
The downside of that was
kids.
That my kids, I mm-hmm. live in for almost a year by themselves. My older son become mom and dad for them.
Wow.
Taking care of them. Few challenges at the moment. Them being by themselves, me being working all these hours.
It was a huge sacrifice that
it
you
was,
made.
It was, definitely. But God has his own plans. Mm-hmm. And everything is so perfect how it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
Even though for some time I suffer a lot. Like, oh, I left my kids. Mm-hmm. I was so living with the guilt.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? God has his own plans, and everything is just so perfect.
Yeah.
So 3 months later that I opened Paco's, month and a half later that I opened Paco's, and I was working so much, and just me, I was taking orders,
mm-hmm.
and I was cleaning the dining room, I was cleaning the bathroom, I was buying the product, I was doing pretty much everything except cooking.
Okay.
So the guy that cooked, he was always there working with me every single day, morning to night. And a month and a half later, I got the opportunity to hire a part-timer guy.
Mm.
I hired him. And one day, the full-timer guy, he didn't show up.
Mm. The cook.
The cook. He didn't show up.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, what am I going to do? I don't know why. I guess it's because I've been going through so many challenges that is kind of like normal for me. Okay, he didn't come, but I have this part-time guy.
Mm-hmm.
At least at least, not really, but I was like, at least I can open half of the day. And then I close the rest of the day. Well, I took that decision. We got into the prep area. We start preparing everything. It was 10 o'clock. I turn on the open sign and lock the door. And people start coming. And it was weird. It was the very first day that we had so many clients at Paco's. And the location is very small. So it got packed. It was a lot of people. And I was like, yay. I was so excited taking orders. And I remember I used to have those registers that you can buy at Sam's or Costco that you can press the numbers and all that. And I was taking the orders on the side. And I was very happy and excited. And I noticed, because our kitchen is open, I noticed that cook, he was in the back cooking. And I was like, oh, probably he's in the back area doing preparation. Mm-hmm. I kept taking orders. And I was putting the orders on the hood.
And it was not getting done?
And it was not getting done. And I was like, wait a minute, because the time passed longer. Mm-hmm. And I went to the back in the prep area. He was not there. I opened the cooler, the walk-in cooler, and he was not there. And the walk-in cooler is very close to the back door. And I look at the back door, and his apron was next to the back door. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
He didn't show up. That's how you knew that he didn't show up?
No. The part-timer guy, the one that I opened and I prepared everything.
He left, too?
He left me there. He left me there with a bunch of tickets. And I was like,
what am I going to do?
And I started crying. And I felt so lonely at the moment. Oh, and I was like, I'm going to do this. This is so hard. And God, I'm just here trying to make things happen. Why things has to be this way? Mm-hmm. I cried. I calmed myself. And I came to the front. And I told all the people what happened. And I gave them their money back. Everybody left. I locked the door and I sat on the corner and I started crying again. And I was like, God, I'm just here. I'm your daughter. Why these things are happening to me? Like, why this is so hard? I'm just trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. But once again, God, I guess God made me go through that to become more resilient because more challenges were on the way. Grow a business is not a joke.
No,
especially
not at all.
That is small. It's not a joke. It was so hard. And next day I show up. I said that night, by the way, after that, calming myself, I was like, okay, I'm going home. It was the first day, me going back home early. My kids were not there, actually. They still were at school. I came home, and of course, I couldn't tell them, like, hey, this happened to me. They were so little. It's nothing that they could do, or I don't want to put that on their hearts. Took a shower that night, and I was like, God, it's hard. This is hard. Please help me and guide me. And I said, well, tomorrow is another day. Yes. And yes, it went another day. I went to Paco's that morning, early morning, and the cooker, the full-timer guy, he was there. He was there, and of course I spoke to him. He did it again? Yes, he did it. But I had more cooks
You need to have a backup.
Yes. Another exactly month and a half later, after that happened, I hired Sergio. Sergio is another great taquero from Mexico City, and he became like my uncle. And I relayed so much on him, and he was just an amazing guy, and he was there always for me, and we were working every single day, because the other guy, the full-timer, that when he started with me, I had to fire him. And then Sergio stayed, but I got the opportunity to hire more people as well because I was growing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having sales of $80 a day at the very beginning. And I changed the menu and I changed the recipes, and Sergio helped me with the recipes as well. We were working amazing, and he was doing a great recipes for the salsas, for the tacos, and we started getting more customers and more and more and more. And those $80 sales a day, they become millions of dollars last year, and it's still with a lot of challenges. Yes. Because it's so hard to grow.
The bigger bigger you get, the more challenges.
And of course, the mistakes that I made over the years, but we're growing, and God is just so amazing. And people has been hugging Pacos, our customers. They love Pacos, from doctors, lawyers, to the construction people, mm-hmm. from Asians to Indians to Latinos to American people. Everybody has been so kind to us.
Yeah.
They've been supporting us. And I really thank God for all that. Because if I didn't went through all that, I don't know how would it be reacting through the situation of the part-timer guy that he left me. Probably I wouldn't be giving up at the moment. Yes. I would be like, okay, I give up, this is too much. Mm-hmm. I can't handle it. And God gave me that strength and the guidance of how to do things
and showing up the next day
it's the next
so
day.
Important too. I feel like if there's a big lesson out of this, mm-hmm. it's like a lot of us would have just given up and mm-hmm. be like, okay, this is not meant to be for me. Exactly. Otherwise God would have made it work. Yes. Right? But yes. No, you had that. You invested your entire savings into mm-hmm. this, and you showed up again. You yes. prayed for guidance. And
yes, I want to create leaders. Like, I really want to elevate people to do better mm-hmm. in life.
Yeah.
And to keep going to school, or okay, how you can learn to become a director. So let me help you in your path. But also at the same time, we grow in Pacos because Pacos is going to provide for all these people.
Mm.
So that's what I'm working right now. And it's, I can tell you, it's hard.
Oh, gosh, I can imagine. Hard. So do you have a manager in each of the stores? No, you oversee still everything?
Yes, I'm going to tell you, God, once again, he provides me. He's yeah. so kind to me. I was managing Pacos 1, doing amazing, amazing, amazing sales. Then I was like, okay, it's our moment to grow. So let's open Pacos 2. And then COVID came and I was under construction. And the health department called me, hey, Sani, so we're going to accelerate your approval because a lot of people is going to need you through the challenge of COVID. And I was like, wow. Because we're more in and out casual service, casual mm-hmm. fast dining, service. Yes. She was like, okay, so you can open sooner, we're gonna accelerate everything. So I was able to open sooner, and I was like, okay. And I was looking for the real vision of Pacos, what I want. I don't want to be just another taqueria. I want to have the authentic Mexican fresh mm-hmm. good, amazing tacos. But I need a better customer service because our service were terrible at the moment. And our time to give the food to our clients were like 20 minutes. And I was like, no, it's taking so long and we're fast. We should be faster. My now husband, uh-huh. He loved Chick-fil-A. Uh-huh. And he introduced me to Chick-fil-A, and I become like a fan of Chick-fil-A. Mm. And I was like, oh, they have a very service. Beautiful,
yes.
their purpose, a philosophy, customer service, and why still that sandwich is fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I want that for Pacos. Like, I really want that for Pacos. So it was 2020. It was like, I think, April or May, and I was like, my husband, he was driving, and I was like, hey, I'm going to work for Chick-fil-A. And he was like, what? Of course not. You just opened another taqueria. And I was like, no, I feel like I need to learn. I need to learn something else so I can apply it to Paco so we can make it better. And it passed like probably like a month. I got like 3 interviews. They hired me, and I was working at the kitchen of Chick-fil-A.
Oh my gosh.
The one that is by my house.
My mind is just blown right now that a business, I mean, wow.
Yes. And I was so amazed. I was so happy working at Chick-fil-A. Honestly, if I wouldn't have my taqueria, probably I would be working for Chick-fil-A, or I would have my own franchise. Standard store,
really?
Yes, because I love Chick-fil-A. And
what did you learn in there?
They have this bunch of fryers, and I started doing the bread. That was the first thing, doing the bread.
So making the bread at home, like in the...
Yeah, the butter and the bread, getting the piece of bread, getting the two halves, the crown and the bottom, putting the butter on both, putting it in the machine so it can get kind of like toasted, and be faster on that. They're faster. Wow. They're so fast. And I was doing it. And I remember this guy, very young, because at the moment I was like, what, it's 4 years ago. I was 38, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
38, 37. And he was like, Sani, excuse me. Let me teach you. And he was like a 20-year-old guy. Let me teach you. Very kind, very with a good manners.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, look, you're going to hold it. You're going to grab it like this. And you're going to butter. And then you're going to put it the pieces. And then after that, when you have like 20, you're going to set those pieces in this piece of plastic thing. And I was like, okay, perfect. So I start doing it. And they had me there for like 2 weeks in the bread area. And wow. Of course, I was watching like kind of like the technology that they have.
Mm-hmm.
How they
and the
do
training,
things.
Too. Their like training, 2 weeks in
yes.
one and, function so you can get really
breading,
good at it.
Breading
bread.
That's all. And I was so happy. And I remember one day one cooler got broke. Because
mm-hmm.
they have two, and it got broke. And I was like, well, it's nothing that I can do. I'm here doing the bread, and I don't know how to do. Because if you go to that cooler, you're mm-hmm. doing cross-contamination. Because it's chicken, it's very strict, all the alignment there for the health department. And I remember this girl, she was exactly like 20 years old, very tiny, very skinny, and she said, well, and one guy didn't show up, the guys who are in the coolers, and she said, well, I can do it. She told the owner, because the owner of the restaurant, he was there, and she said, and he asked, are you sure you got it? And she said, yes, I got it. And it was lunchtime. 12 to 1. 12
wow.
to 1, they
the
sell
craziest.
They sell like $6,000 in 1 hour. And she said, yes, I got it. And I was doing the bread. And she started putting, I would say, like a domino or a chess. She was starting putting the pieces, the people on place. She said, Sani, we're going to do it this way, and you're going to do it quick. And she started just saying, indications to all the people how we were gonna do the thing, the work. And she passed around an hour, and she was doing all like 6 fryers.
Uh-huh.
And she was doing the bread the chicken, milked the chicken, bread the chicken, and put it in the fryers. And the fryers are pressure, so you have to manage the fryer, and she was taking out the chicken, and the chicken has to go to another area. And I was so impressed, and I was like, how can I do all these at Paco's?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Were you ever sitting there watching all of this like excellent people thinking, I need to steal all of those employees for Paco's?
Well, not actually that. It was not never I thought about it, about to bring these kids to work with me. Not. It was more like,
how can I teach them excellence? I want to learn
this culture. I want to live it. And I want to apply it in my house, and I want to apply it at Paco's.
That's incredible.
So people can take ownership.
Yes.
Of everything that they're doing.
Yes.
So I stayed there, unfortunately, not for long, because I was needed at our newest location. It was a pleasure to work for Chick-fil-A, and a pleasure to learn a little bit of what they're doing. And I really want to bring that to Paco's. I bring a little bit to Paco's. And we're still working to one day become that Chick-fil-A but tacos.
Yes.
It will happen.
The Mexican version of Chick-fil-A.
Yes, but in tacos, of course. And I know one day it's going to happen. I don't know. It's going to take me 20 years. Maybe.
Wow.
But I'm not going to drop the towel. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be persistent because it's a lot of people who needs the opportunity, who wanted the opportunity to excel in life. And I know a lot of these people can work at Paco's, and I can keep helping other people, other communities as well, not only offering tacos, but what else that I can do. So it has been a beautiful, beautiful ride, definitely, in learning and applying and meeting people. And
what advice would you give to young, especially Latinas, that want to start something? Like, and I say Latinas, not to just try to close the poll, but just like women. We are already minorities, you know, and it's not, the odds are sort of against us a little bit, you know, so for women in general that want to start a business, like what are some of the things that you would tell them to encourage them to do it?
Well, it's always a way to do things. It's always a path to make it better. And I always heard like, oh, it's a village to raise a kid, right?
We always takes a village, that. Yes.
Well, it takes a village to have a business and to get the support from a friend, a guidance from the friend of the friend. Never close doors, never close doors that like bad. Always be with your open heart. Talk with your open heart. That really helps to make a connection with other people, and not because of any interest. It's because what we're doing here in this world, right, is to make better our versions, our better ourselves, and how we can make strong connections with people.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, once we pass, when we are in our last breath, what do you want to feel? You want to feel like you help a lot of people, that people were there for you. And I feel like the only part that we can make that happen is just being authentic, be vulnerable. It's okay. And if somebody take it different, it's their own problem, it's not yours.
Yeah.
But going back to the advice is like, keep it up. Don't give up. It's always is going to be a way to do things. And if you do it the right way with a good intention, the result is going to be just amazing.
I was going to add that.
It might going to take some time, but you're going to be okay.
Yes. Don't give up.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say the ad, like with excellence, you know, it's also biblical too. Like everything that we do, even the cleaning bathrooms, you know, that you were doing when you were cleaning, then later on you were cleaning at your own store. I mean, the little things, it's nothing is wasted in God's world. So I feel like do everything with excellence because it is seeing, you know, what you're doing to your current employer.
Somebody's, you know,
take pride. Some people are seeing you. Yeah, exactly. So if there's opportunities in the future, so you might not be where you want to be right now, work-wise, but, you know, further on, like later in life, that employer is going to remember you if there's somebody else calling them, hey, we need somebody like this. Oh, I know the person because we don't forget, right?
As
employers, you know who goes the extra mile, and and I feel like we always are willing to help one another. So
absolutely. And you just attract what you want to attract in life.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep complaining, honestly, yes, you will have a lot more of those complaints in your life.
Yes.
But if you take it like, okay, I learned my experience. Let me move on.
Yes.
Let me elevate myself.
Exactly. There is something to be said about toxic work environments. I worked in a retail store that was incredible, but the culture was so, it was always complaining. People were always dragging you down. I remember arriving to work and being so excited to be there, and people are already looking like they're having a bad day, right? Like no matter what day. And it was just so hard to go through it. I remember I ended up quitting that job because, not just because of that, but when I did make the decision, I'm like, you know, I know that this is what I need to do because it's a place that drags me down. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody around me, it was so heavy, you know? Yes. So what I love so much about your story is you're living the American dream. So it's nice to see the recognition that you're receiving from all of that hard work. Can you share with us some of those awards and opportunities that you had to speak to lately?
Absolutely, yes. I have been recognized by different organizations. One of those, oh my gosh, it's been a lot actually. I've been recognized as well from, I did a program last year for the Republican Party.
Okay.
I got recognized by them as well. I got recognized also by Mujeres Conectadas, con Dominique Cepeda.
Mm-hmm.
She's been doing an amazing job as well with Latinas. I have been done a lot lately, and I really thank to all of them because they have been, once again, noticed like, oh, what Sen is doing, what she did. We want to learn a little bit more, but what it gets me more, the happiness in my heart is like to be able to share with women what we're doing and how we're doing it, and that we all going through challenges and hard moments, and we still up, we still doing things, and we still doing amazing, and is that it really fulfills my heart, like to be here with you.
Yeah.
I feel so humbled to be here and thank recognize you as well, acknowledge you, what you went through in the past, and how you overcome situations, and now you're doing a podcast elevating women, elevating people to do so much better in life. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're so welcome. I do want to say this just for context, like when I met Sani, we met in a community at church that I asked her for permission to share this, but it was a recovery group for different types of things and, you know, overcoming challenges, whether it's in marriage, with family, with kids, or just walking through tough times. And our church used to have this huge group meetings that happen, and I met her for the first time in one of those when I was walking through my season with my daughter. And it was, that's the thing though, I feel like people don't do enough, is to recognize that we need help and go look for that help, right? That's not time wasted. It's time to go, whether it's in therapy, with a church group, with trustworthy people.
Exactly.
It's, you know, accepting that, and like, you're successful,
you're,
I'm successful,
yes.
Yeah, but we need it, we can't do it on our own, and exactly. And God gives us the opportunity to have those communities that we need to be a part of.
Yes.
So, you know, having a prayer life is really important. I think it's the first step, but there's also other things that we need to do, you know, this
taking actions.
Yes,
absolutely. Yes. And just put God first in front of you
in everything.
Yes.
Yeah, he goes in front, he goes behind.
Yes. And things, the result will be amazed.
Yes.
It's just a matter of time sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be patient.
We do.
Yes.
That's not one of my gifts, but I'm learning it. Okay, Sani, so for people watching us and listening to us, where can they find you? And for those in Indy, we're definitely going to Paco's, because now after hearing all those recipes, I want to eat a taco there now. But give us your socials, where we can find you, and does your husband like other businesses that you might be a part of too?
Yes. Well, my husband, he owns a construction company, mm-hmm. so he does a great job. If somebody needs a remo or to start a new construction,
what is it? What is the?
It's called Aventus Group. Okay. And they people can also get connected with me through social media. It could be Seni Gonzalez. You're gonna see me there, and also LinkedIn is a great place that you mostly reply, sometimes not quick, but mm-hmm. I'll be there to connect.
Does Paco's have a social media too?
Yes, Paco's. Okay. Paco's Taqueria, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, I guess TikTok, we're there.
Okay. There too. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yes. That's awesome. What is your favorite thing to eat at Paco's?
It's absolutely the tacos, like steak tacos. What we do right now, mm-hmm. we used to have the recipe where we put all the meat in the griddle and make the meat and cook and all that. Right now, we change all that recipe. So now we actually have a grill where we put that big pieces of meat. We grill like a carne asada meat, and then we cut it in little cubes, and that's now the new recipe for the carne asada tacos. Uh-huh. That is my favorite, and we have very authentic meats, like we have tongue tacos, we have cabeza, we have chicken tacos, of course, chorizo tacos. Pastor tacos, that you never can go wrong with that. So yes, yeah. Steak tacos are my favorite, and al pastor as well.
Oh,
so
yum. Yummy.
Yes.
We need to place an order here for lunch. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Seni. This was so wonderful to just get to know you better and know your story. It's so inspirational for me sitting here. I mean, just so many takeaways, but to me what stood out the most in your story is your humility of going, you're as a business owner going to work in a fast food restaurant because you enjoy the culture. So nothing is too little for us, right? We can gain experience and knowledge from, you know, the most unlikely places, and so that's incredible. I just wanted to thank you for being here, and would you like to close us in prayer?
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. Again, thank you so much for this beautiful opportunity to be in this podcast. I prayed for these beautiful women who are here taking to the next step to elevate women, to do better in life. Thank you for every single day for what you provide to us and our family. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today, friends. I hope you guys are walking away feeling encouraged and maybe even a little lighter. Make sure to subscribe and drop a comment or review so we can keep this faith-filled community growing. Share this episode if it touched you or if you know someone who needs to hear it. Let's spread the love. I'll see you next week on Carina Faith Diaries. And until then, stay strong, stay kind, and keep the faith.